Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Madeline Grace on building your relationship with God.
If I believe in God, but I'm not experiencing freedom, like, what does that mean? And I think I can relate to that. I grew up Christian and didn't know the relationship side, but I believed in God. And if I think that's the biggest difference of understanding the gospel is when you start to incorporate real relationship, because that's when you're going to experience the power of Him.
Madeline Grace next. Coming up, social media influencer Madeline Grace brings energy and passion as she gives practical thoughts about building our relationship with God. To help us in that, she's written the Jesus Challenge Journal. Spencer Dahlke is with her to find out more.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about what the Jesus Challenge is?
Yeah, so the challenge itself, it's basically a super simple method that helps anyone at any age, any stage in your faith, grow in your relationship with God at home. It's common to feel like you've hit a rut or to not even know where to go or what steps to do or just feel overwhelmed by the whole process. And this is an acronym, so it makes it very simple. Jesus is the acronym in this case, and it kind of guides you step by step of how to just cultivate that personal time at home and being intentional about sharing your heart with God. So J is journaling, expressing anything you're feeling on paper to God, like you're talking to Him like a friend. And then E is experience, so taking time to listen and let God talk to you and spend some time in worship and being quiet. And then study and understand are when the scripture come into play and you try to understand one verse a day to keep it super simple and digestible and actually intentional about applying it. I think it's easy for the Bible to feel overwhelming. It's just big. And sometimes you don't know where to start. And so this method, I think, helps simplify it and make it feel less scary and in prayer. So just a way to kind of ignite all of your tools and talk to God and make a safe space for the relationship.
Would you tell us a little bit about what like your story is and how what prompted the Jesus Challenge?
I would say, I mean, my childhood and early high school, I was very, there was a lot of pain and a lot of confusion. And I just had a lot of fear and speaking up what terrified me. I was just a mute sometimes and didn't know how to own my opinion and my voice and just like riddled with anxiety and hit my version of rock bottom, which is how I met Jesus and started to see Him really change me and show me who I am and give me this confidence. And I think I was just so in awe of how different I was. I thought things about me were personality when I found out it was really just pain. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I was living a completely different life compared to who I really am. And the freedom available to me was just shocking. And I was like, I need everyone to know about this relationship. And that was earlier in my walk with God and went through just seasons of in and out and learning a ton. And the Jesus Challenge itself, I think, pairs with just that early story because just my heart of really wanting people to get that freedom and find out who they are in God and just the identity and how the enemy really will confuse you and tell you things that just are opposite of who you are. And as we all work through life and hard moments come, I found myself in a season of deep depression. I think it was summer of 23. Just was not okay, not in a good place. But I had been following Jesus for a while at this point. And I think it just speaks to how we're going to have up and down seasons. And it's not to say what's wrong with you. It's to say, oh, how can I bring this to God and see Him help me through this? And it was that summer where I just was desperate for change. And I was like, God, help me. I don't know how to help myself. And just was leaning on Him for just, I didn't even have the answers or what it was, but I just needed help. And I knew that my mindset needed to change. And I woke up different the next morning. And it was almost like He just like lifted the heaviness and just like rewired my brain. And it was in that miracle of knowing the difference of He just lifted this thing off of me that I was, again, had that same passion that I had earlier in my walk of like, how can I tell the world about this Jesus who delivers and saves and heals and transforms? And it was that morning, actually, that through the faith that was birthed from that experience, that I got the details for the Jesus Challenge. And I was just like, yeah, people should journal, because I was journaling how depressed I was. I was telling God how everything I felt and doing these things. And it's just so cool to see how it has been used as a tool to help others really get to know this person too. And it just speaks to as well, just how he uses your pit. He uses your lowest moment to really become a testimony that can help others and show others that, yeah, I struggle. I've been depressed. And it's not just you, because that's something the enemy wants us to think too, is it's an us problem.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned, like, there really is something about journaling. I don't know what it is. It's like, I mean, it helps you process or whatever. And especially when you have a record of maybe moments where you've seen God working in your life, that you can, like, little Ebenezers, you know, along the way. And you can kind of go back and be like, God was faithful to me in these moments.
Totally.
What do you think is the hardest part for young people to understand about the gospel?
That's a really good question. And I think a lot of the things, I think my heart is really that question, is for people to, because it's so easy to hear the words, Jesus died and rose again for your sins, but not really know what that means. You hear all these messages, but like, what does that mean for me? And what does it mean that I'm free? If I believe in God, but I'm not experiencing freedom, like, what does that mean? And I think I can relate to that. I grew up Christian and didn't know the relationship side, but I believed in God. And if I think that's the biggest difference of understanding the gospel, is when you start to incorporate real relationship, because that's when you're going to experience the power of him. And so I think it makes a lot of sense, actually, if we're not really understanding and we're hearing, and it just makes sense. So if you're someone and you're listening to this and you're like, I don't get it. Like, Jesus died for me, but what does that mean personally? And why am I not experiencing this new life or anything like that? And I would say it's getting the understanding of the fact that we all have a lot of tendencies that are anti-love and really strip us from this love. And if we look at ourselves, we're like, yeah, I can be selfish. I can be judgmental. I can gossip. I can lash out and do all these things. And I think once we start to look inward and be like, yeah, I do have these tendencies to not love well in ways. And I don't think we fully grasp what it does to our soul as we're in these things. And so I think it's an understanding of, when you grow in relationship with Jesus, he's actually able to disarm that stuff and help you grow out of the fear of not speaking up, or the fear of what people think, or the torment of anxiety, or any of these things, or confusion about identity. And maybe if you battle with gossiping or judgment, like, he's actually able, as you grow in relationship with him, to fill your heart with love that actually starts to change you and transform you. And I think that's when you start to taste, this is what it means when Jesus saves me. The parts that we struggle with and the pain, it's really not who we are. It's just the struggle. And I think that's what I always want to communicate, is it's all about the relationship and giving him an opportunity to get to know the person of love, that love starts to fall into you and transform you. And then you start to taste the gospel in real life.
What do you think a relationship with God looks like? And how does, well, the journal that you published, it looks like it's a lot of like studying scripture and applying it to yourself. So how does that help us develop our relationship with God? And what does that look like?
So the scripture, is the question more about how does the scripture help us develop the relationship?
I think so, yes.
I would say the enemy's greatest weapon and place he's going to attack us the most is our mind. And this is where we're deceived first. And if you look in the Bible, Adam and Eve, what's the first thing he did? He whispered a lie and said, this isn't going to do any harm. You should do this. It's actually going to be good for you. You should eat from this tree, even though God says don't. And so he gets into her mind and she lets him in by agreeing. I think when we understand that the enemy's greatest battlefield is our mind, and this is why we have insecurity and fear and worry and all those things, because he's planting these seeds and these doubts and trying to get us to believe things that just aren't true. The cool thing about Jesus is in his word, it says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so the way to get out of all of that, the way to get freedom from all of that is him, because he actually rewires our brain. And when we read scripture, scripture is his word, which is alive because Jesus is alive. When we read his word, it actually reminds us about what's true, which helps dismantle the parts of our thinking and our mindset that aren't true. And so this is why the anxiety and the fear and the worry can start to shift, because your mind is starting to shift. And my life verse is Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. And I've seen that in my life of how I used to think so different. And I was a completely different person. I was party girl back in the day and so confused with my life and who I was. And the moment I started to give God an opening and reading his word and spending time with him, my mind started to change. I started to read his truth, which was disarming the parts of my mind that was full of lies. And the Holy Spirit is power. I think when we remember that too, it's God actually has power over every lie, over all of the evil. And so the more we spend time with him, the more those things start to shift. And so God's word is so important to read is because it helps us stand on guard and it keeps our heart in alignment with his, which protects us from the sin of the world and the lies of the enemy and keeps us clear about who we are, who God is, and what we're all here for.
Well, turning back to the journal, what is your hope for it? What's the mission?
My hope is just that every single person who gives us an opportunity meets Jesus and sees him in a personal way. And gets to know who they are in a personal way where they can start to discover their gifting and their true identity in him. But first and foremost, just getting to know the one that created them and knowing that he's a safe place and that through relationship and giving him space, it slowly unfolds. And I think letting it be a process and not trying to rush something, but letting God just take his time with you. Because sometimes we just need to do one little goal at a time, one step at a time. But yeah, my heart is just that relationship is found, because once relationship is found, so much more comes from that. And it's just freedom in him.
What have been some of the more impactful scriptures in your life that have really like drawn you closer and into that relationship with God?
I would definitely say Romans 12:2. That is so near to my heart just because I've seen myself be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And at the end of the verse, when it says his pleasing and perfect will be revealed, I think it speaks to how clarity starts to come. Clarity about our identity, clarity about who God is. I think a lot of people they're curious about God, but they just don't know where to start, which is another reason why I think this journal is a beautiful tool to help people know where to start. But we think we need to know all the answers and know everything there is to know about God, but God doesn't need us to know everything. And he honestly just wants to help get rid of the clutter and the lies so that we can start to see clear and allow him to love us. Because that's the whole thing, is just allowing God to love us unconditionally. And once we start to do that, the love is the antidote to all the things that cause us harm. And then we're going to start to see clearly. So Romans 12:2 for sure. And I think it's Proverbs 3:5-6, where it talks about not leaning on your own understanding, but constantly choosing his understanding, because we can be so easily deceived by feelings. And just when we're feeling low, we're an easy target. It's actually good news in a sense, because God's power is made perfect in that place. That's another one of my favorite verses, is just that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, because it takes off the pressure that we have to fix ourselves. And God is the one who's going to show up and be strong in that place. So if we bring him your fear and your worry and anxiety, you're actually giving him an opportunity to make that strong. And he does. And his power gets to actually, again, disarm the parts of us that are linked to lies, and also equip us with the strength and the truth necessary to believe what he says. Yeah, I think all my favorite verses are when it comes to mind renewal and focusing on his word and not leaning on our understanding and mindset, for sure.
Well, my guest today is Madeline Grace. She's a Christian social media influencer and the founder of the Jesus Challenge and the author of the 31-Day Journal. I kind of wanted to turn my attention a little bit to, like, we talked a little bit about the journal. Yeah. I'm also kind of curious about your work with, like, social media. Right. What has your experience been, you know, making a career out of Instagram? And
such a good question. And I think there's a lot of downsides to social media. And I discovered, I think it was around 2021, 2022, Christian TikTok. And I just loved how raw and honest, and there was the good, there was the testimonies, there was the heartbreak, the frustrating videos, the crying, the people speaking revelation that God has told them. And just seeing community on Christian TikTok and even just on Instagram, I think really, I saw that and I was like, wow, if I could have had this when I was younger, I would have felt so much more seen and less alone in my struggle and in believing in God. And I just loved that it was just making a space for this to be a normal thing. And I think it's easy when you're new in it to be like, oh, where are my people? Am I alone? And I just loved the community aspect. I was like, I want to be a part of this. And I think there are, again, going to be good and bad and everything. I think God can redeem everything and make it really light. We're fed so much information, right? And we see so much, do this, do that. This is what this says. This is what this means. Podcasts, so much info. There's so much good. And there's so much purpose to God sharing his message through different people, because everyone has different ways to communicate, which different people are able to receive. And there's so much good to it. But I think when it comes to the listener and the one digesting it, it's important to have that relationship. And this is what I think this journal is really good at developing, is like knowing, okay, I can digest and it's important to learn and listen, but it's also so important for you and God to have that one-on-one time and for the Holy Spirit to speak to you individually. Because it's so easy to blindly follow, right? And to just be like, oh, this person says this, this is what I should do. And I think there's something to those that you look up to and those that you like are able to be like, yes, this is sound and they speak so much truth, and to have them be a good avenue of leadership and help in your life. But I would say as you're navigating being on social media and just digesting and even maybe wanting to do this yourself, it's just making sure you go back to the basics of you and God, you and him, your relationship with him, going to him with all your questions rather than just what people are saying about it. And I think that will keep you in a really secure, safe place of really growing intimately with him while also getting the benefit to the things that are being spread across social media and just the community and the life in that lens too. It has definitely been a journey. That's something I've learned, is like, back to the basics. Jesus, I mean, bringing him all your concerns and questions, because it's so easy to compare and think you should be where this person is or what they're saying or what they're doing. But God has us all on a different timeline, and what he's doing in you is going to be different than what he's doing on someone else, especially someone you might be watching. Or even if you are wanting to pursue social media and sharing your testimony, if God's calling you to do that, you just got to keep your blinders on with you and God while also celebrating what God's doing in everyone else. So you don't fall into the comparison or are they stealing what I'm doing? Or, oh, am I not enough from what they're doing? You know, like those narratives just come in. And I think the enemy will use where you're at to try to cause that conflict and that comparison and that judgment. Really stick to your relationship at home and that quiet time and unplugging. And I think that will keep you in a really good spot.
Especially since metrics are like right out there, you know, number of followers. Yeah. They're just, it's like right there on your page. Yeah. And you can easily, like you said, you can compare really easily.
I have gone through so many lessons where God has had to be like, what are you doing this for? And it's hard too when it is in your face 24/7, numbers, how this video did, comments, what people are saying, people disagreeing, people not liking it. And you have to face that tension of you're not going to make everyone happy. And you also can't base your worth on the performance of what you're seeing or the video or the followers. And this is a human thing. You're going to have to go through, oh, that this one didn't do as well, but that doesn't mean anything. And it's okay to like, it's being aware of like what's wrestling in your heart as these things are happening, because God is trying to help us not care and get rid of fear of man. And it honestly helps you go back to God and be like, Lord, help me be someone who becomes so confident in what you want me to say that numbers don't matter. Also, if this is your strategy, this is how you don't get burnt out, because you know it's not coming from you. And so you get to actually step away and be like, Lord, get rid of the numbers and the performance and help me to just authentically speak what you want me to say and be consistent no matter what the performance is. Because that's going to show you that you're showing up, even if it's for one person, or even if it's just to own what God is saying in terms of share your story. This is on your heart. Share what I told you to, you know, it's like not letting the response dictate your belief in what you have to say. And if you think about, maybe God gives you this crazy revelation and you want to share with your best friend who is your, or maybe just your family or your mom, and you share them, but you can tell they don't really get it or get you. And like, it almost kind of dampens the joy of your testimony or your revelation. Those are those moments that make you look at yourself and be like, am I needing the response of someone else to help me carry what God did in me? Or am I actually confident in what God's doing in me and talking to me about? And it just shows you where you're at, right? It shows you, maybe I am being swayed by someone's opinion of what I said. And it filters into social media too. The performance of the video, is that swaying the confidence you have in what you're bringing or in what you're communicating or what content you're producing. Cause that's a slippery slope. Cause that will mean you're trying to please people, that realm, which will lead to burnout because you're going to be like, what do people like? And how do I create the best video? And we have to remember that that actually draws us away from who we really are and keeps our eyes on people rather than God. And so I would say that's been a big struggle and a huge learning lesson of just like, help me, Lord, to just own what you're doing in me and to share it in hopes that it helps someone else.
Do you ever engage with hecklers?
That is another learning lesson of where, like, when people say things just to, and this is the other thing. It's like, I post a lot of long form content. So someone might listen to 30 seconds of my video and be like, this is wrong and false and I don't agree. And I'm like, but did you listen to the whole video? Because I talk about what you just said 3 minutes in. And so there's those moments where you want to like defend yourself, but you just have to trust that God's your defender. And it really does this character building in your heart to like hold your tongue and to not lash out and to just let people be. We can't control it. But that's so much easier said than done. I will not sit here and say that it's been easy for me to not respond. And there's moments where I'll just want to say something really direct, sweetly. And then there's been moments where I was like, oh, I should have just left it, you know, because it never actually gives you what you want when you respond to them. And yeah, it really forces you to die to fear of man. I'll tell you that. Lord, help me to just care what you think and not the comments or not the people who disagree. But it's a good lesson because it filters into everything, you know.
How is your work with Instagram and sort of stuff, this kind of unique experience? Have you seen moments that have really shaped your view of the gospel and how you've come to appreciate it?
I mean, similar to what you just said about social media having the good and bad, I think it's really given me, I think, been the biggest privilege of my life, being able to see how social media can actually be sent across the world and people in Africa or even in China, like there's people I've heard that have heard about the Jesus Challenge or just like in different countries everywhere, just the impact that it can have bringing the global church together, you know, and it does give you a wider perspective of it's not just like our country or like my church, but it's like everyone across the world is hungry and searching and wanting tools just like your neighbor or people at your church. And I think it's really shaped my like global perspective of the church and the mission of like, we're all called to be one with one another across the world. And I think that's been the coolest thing for me, just being able to do it on social media, is just seeing the impact globally and getting to just experience different people from different parts of the world. And just, I think one major lesson I've learned through doing this from the beginning is never assume they know. I'm privileged enough to have been raised Christian and grew up in church. But the basics, and which is why I love to strip it down to the basics and make it simple, aren't common knowledge to everyone. And a lot of people don't know a lot of the basics. And I think when it comes to how we talk and communicate in the Christian world, or it's like never assume someone knows, and it's okay if they don't know. It's like this is an opportunity to be a light and to share God's love. And I think I feel for the brain of the person who's like, should I know? Or is it bad if I don't know? It's like, no, you don't know what you don't know. And I think this is why God says, go out and tell the world about me and make it plain and clear. And I think that has been my favorite part about getting to do social media in the ministry world, is just helping people get it or understand the really digestible basics of the gospel and just seeing how it can be used to be places I could never be all at, you know. It's like I can't be in these places, but I could post a video. And that is just a really cool way that God's been able to use, I think, technology for his good. The more you spread, the more contagious it is, and people want to spread it too.
Is there anything else that you'd like to throw in about your experience and how you've been encouraged by your work, or anything that might be interesting to our listeners?
I would say if you are someone who is craving more of God or you're wanting to reset, I think so often we get into fixed mode of, oh, I need this healing. I need to do this to get better and read my Bible, and I need to do this serve opportunity and love this person better. And we get these things in our brain of like, I need to do this to be better. But God is saying, be And then the rest comes from that. And allowing yourself to just be with him as you are today. Because with all of our flaws, you're 100% loved. And he loves us there because he just knows how he's able to draw us out of it. So get rid of the mindset that we have to fix ourselves. Live from love. And I think that goes with allowing God to love you here. And I think with the journaling, it's, God, this is everything I'm experiencing. This is all the things I'm doing wrong or I'm feeling that are wrong or that I'm insecure about. And then knowing that he loves you through that actually will motivate you to keep wanting to discover who this guy is. How does he love me here through all of this? And then we're motivated by love. And that, again, I think helps us stay out of that burnout and really just flowing in that true relationship side.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Madeline Grace, author of the Jesus Challenge Journal. You can find her on platforms like Instagram and TikTok. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Daniel Brandenburg on the demonstration of Christ's leadership in secular models.
And then the role of the leader was not to be the one calling all the shots. It was to be like a gardener. That's the image that he uses. And what a gardener does is just till the soil and bring the water and create the conditions for the plants to flourish. And that's the role of a leader within the complexity of leadership. And so then I look at, okay, did Jesus face these type of situations? And certainly the world at the time of Jesus was not as complex as ours is today. But there certainly are indicators even there of parallels with the style of leadership of Jesus.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.